You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk back program.
We all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, but we love to try them on.
Well, probably one of the reasons this guy has... I don't know, he's been in a bit of trouble ministry-wise over the years. It's because he refuses to put those faces on, those masks. He's known as the naked pastor. Here's some of the reasons that David Hayward has heard as to why he just stepped down as pastor and left, quote, professional ministry completely after 25 years. Here's some of the reasons. Check this out. He's gay. He'll come out of the closet soon. Satan caused his fall by finding the chink in his armor, intellectual curiosity. He had an affair. He was handsomely paid out. Burned out. He lost his faith. He's replacing the director of the Vineyard Movement. He was spoiled by the rotten apples, atheist agnostics. His his denomination, the Vineyard, excommunicated him for heresy. He had sex with someone other than his wife. Man, no wonder the guy left. Joining us on the Drew Marshall Show is the one and only... naked pastor. How are you, David?
I'm great. How are you, Drew?
Have you ever had an intro like that before?
Never. No.
Dude, that is just insane. I was doing some research on you, and I read that interview that you and the internet monk did with each other.
Right.
And that's how this whole thing kind of got started. I got an email from a blogger called Benny Diction.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yep.
That said, look, I just wanted to let you know that Michael Spencer has died.
Yep.
He had a short battle with cancer, and it really rocked a lot of people.
It did.
Including yourself?
Yes, it did. He was very influential in actually helping me develop Naked Pastor, the blog, and he was very helpful. He would often put cartoons of mine on his blog, and also Boar's Head Tavern.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, he's just very helpful and kind, and, you know, I really liked him.
Well, I guess this whole blogging part of the show today is a bit of a tribute to Michael Spencer.
Oh, great. Yeah.
Did you ever get a chance to meet face-to-face?
Never did.
Because he was down there in Kentucky, wasn't he? Isn't that where he's at or something like that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a fair distance away. I was talking with Bill Kinnon the other day, and Bill wasn't able to make it down to the funeral either, but he was pretty wrecked by the news that that Michael had passed. As a matter of fact, I think Michael's funeral is today.
It is today, yeah. That's right.
Right. Well, let's talk about you. What a journey. What the heck is going on with you right now? What's happening?
Well, I read my letter of that I was stepping down. I read the statement last Sunday, and it's been a long time coming. I struggled for years and years. Well, since I was ordained, actually, over 25 years ago, I've struggled with being inside the institution, but it finally came to the point where I just one of the major factors was I just felt I couldn't fit comfortably within it, or at least be on its payroll, and without sacrificing my own freedom
right.
to a great extent, yeah.
But was there one, you know, sometimes people in ministry quit based on an argument they've had with somebody or a power struggle or whatever, and it's basically I'm going to take my ball and go home. In Australia, we call it a dummy spit. Okay. Was there any of that involved in this decision?
No, not at all. I've always asked that it would be, you know, very clear to me when I knew it was time for me to step down. And you know, I had some difficult conversations over the past while with some people, and it was just one night the light came on. It was just very clear. It wasn't a reaction to that conversation, or you know, it wasn't me quitting or running away. It was just the clarity was there that I knew I was finished with this season. It was a very peaceful moment, actually, and I came home and I told my wife Lisa, and she said, "Yeah, well, we're together on this." So,
boy, you obviously married up.
Y'all, tell me about it. My island of reality—that's what she is. Yeah.
Your island of—that's just so Hallmarky, really. That's your island of reality. That's a beautiful moment. Let's just pause there.
Yeah, it brings a tear to your eye.
It does. Yeah. Oh, man. It's like when I talk to Beth Moore's people and they finish the phone call by saying, "Y'all be blessed." Almost puked in the phone. I saw a cartoon that you created. I don't know whose site I saw this on. Anyway, anyone who has walked that same course can tell you how tough that journey is. However, I'm sure the commenters can attest to this. You're so much better off as a result. If David were to draw a fifth panel to this cartoon, taking place a few months down the road, I'm pretty sure the guy at the end would have a big smile on his face. Where was that posted? I've just forgotten that.
It went all over the place.
You know what? Was that on Hammond's blog?
Yes.
It was on the Friendly Atheist.
Yes.
So the Friendly Atheist is sitting there. Now, let's describe the cartoon. I forgot this was radio. There's two guys walking beside each other. One of them's Jesus. One of them's, I guess, you.
Yeah.
And there's a smile.
We're all smiling.
Yeah. And then the next frame, two guys are still walking there, you and Jesus, but you're not smiling so much.
I look concerned because Jesus seems to be fading out a little bit.
Right. And then the third panel, Jesus is way in the background.
Yeah.
And
he's
then the
fading out and I look angry.
Yep. And in the fourth panel, it's just you.
It's just me. And the look on my face is supposed to be calm, peaceful.
So where did that come from?
Well,
I mean, that sounds like you're bailing on Jesus here.
No. The thing is, Jesus would be invisible, wouldn't he?
Well,
so, I mean, my ideas have radically changed over the years, and I've come from a place where I knew exactly who Jesus was. I could outline him. I could describe him. You know, he and I were tight. We're both happy.
He's your brother from another mother.
Yeah, you know, and then as the years go on, things start to change. I'm not so certain about who he is. There's more mystery involved, and to the point today where some people would look at that and say, he doesn't think Jesus is there anymore, whereas either he's not there at all or he's everywhere, right?
Right.
So that's what it was intended to mean. I hate describing my cartoons, but that's... It's like trying to explain a joke, but
yeah,
that's what it was intended by that.
Okay,
the journey over the years.
So, David, I want you to imagine what I asked Hammett the same question, sort of. Imagine what life would be like should you come to the conclusion that this Christ you follow does not exist. If you're half the guy I think you are, you have imagined that scenario many, many times.
Well, what I'm baffled by is you asked Hammond that?
No, I asked him in reverse.
Oh.
Yeah, the opposite. I asked him, imagine what life would be like if you decided to buy into the Jesus stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm looking forward to hearing that. I find that hard to imagine. Although, you know, things have, like I say, my thought has really, really changed over the years. And, you know, I'm grateful for being a part of a church, the church that I'm still at right now until the end of April, that has allowed me to grow and stretch and explore, and, you know, the intellectual curiosity was totally allowed, and I really appreciate that. But it's come to a point where I feel my faith or my theology or whatever has just been exploded wide open. Now, it's not been exploded to bits, you know, where it's, you know, annihilated. It's just been blown wide open. It's far vaster than I could have ever imagined.
But you know the outsiders to your life, mm-hmm. who look in with whatever glasses that they're looking through, whether it's right or left or Calvinist or Marxist, they look in on this scenario that you're going through, and they would kind of say this, I'm sure. They would say, well, if your faith is that shaky, you really need to get out of ministry.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why you did, right? No?
Well, no. I've actually had people tell me that to my face.
Yeah.
You know, and letters and whatnot from all kinds of camps. And so for me, it was more about me feeling like I didn't fit anymore. It was on the payroll of the institutional church. I'm still passionate about how people of faith can gather in healthy ways.
Right.
I'm still very much interested in that, and that's what I'm going to continue blogging about.
Well, I'm glad that you're pursuing and persisting and moving forward. Although, I mean, this is another hit in your dance card here. I mean, the Presbyterian scene, you rolled through that. You even had a stint as a spiritual director as an RC.
Yeah.
You were Mr. Vineyard. Well, and that's what you've just come out of, is the Vineyard thing.
The Vineyard, yeah.
Yeah. And yet, here's this guy who at one time in his life won the Reformed Theology Prize.
That's right.
This is just, you're an anomaly, man.
I know that. But see, this is something I learned years and years ago, was that one day I was feeling absolutely trapped in the system. Like, at the time it was the Presbyterian Church. And hopeless and beyond despair. Like, I was just, anyway, one night I had a dream. I woke up the next morning and I realized I'm not trapped at all. I am entirely free. And I quit. And I've been doing that ever since. When I get to a place where I feel I am bound and restricted and in bondage or whatever, I'll just quit. So I just did it again.
Wow.
Very liberating. I feel great.
Okay, take us through this process, the latest quitting episode.
Okay.
Well, how did this go down?
Well, it happened very quickly. I mean, you know, and the congregation that I'm with now, I've been allowed to be very open with them and with the leadership team of the church. And, you know, I blog pretty openly about my struggles, too. And then I'd had a series of difficult conversations that, you know, sort of helped me realize that, okay, it's becoming very plain that I no longer really fit. And like I say, the light came on one night. I met with the leadership a couple days later. I made the announcement 2 weeks later, and I've got 2 weeks left. I mean, it was that fast. So, you know, Drew, another thing I was concerned about is the church that I'm pastoring. Like, I didn't want to stubbornly hang on to my position there until there was nobody left or whatever. The church is a good size. It doesn't have any debt. It has a building. You know, it's got a good leadership team, a full-time salary. And I wanted to leave it in a position where there wasn't enough critical mass to sustain itself. And so I've done that.
As opposed to hanging on there with your agenda until there's so many fractions that you're left with, you know,
nothing.
A couple of blue hairs and some keeners.
And my pride.
And your pride, exactly. Yeah. Do you ever think back to the day when the drunk, hungry bum said to you, you're never going to be a minister?
Yeah, that was a major moment in my life. Yeah.
It reminds me, maybe not in the same way at all, but it's very similar in my mind, which is a scary place to be, to Brendan Manning's story of laying in an alleyway or a doorway or whatever, covered in his own vomit after being completely wasted for I don't know how many days, and a mom and a daughter walk by, and the daughter looks at him, and the mother grabs the daughter away and says, stay away from that filthy animal, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of slap upside the head, really, isn't it?
It was devastating. Yeah, it was absolutely devastating where the street person told me, because of the way I treated him, just totally rude.
Well, you were a jerk, yeah.
I was a total jerk. I wanted to get home. It was a snowstorm, and I wanted to get home, and I just treated that guy like dirt, and he said, you'll never be a minister the way you treated me. And I mean, that has stuck with me. Now, mind you, I've lasted that since that happened.
That was 85.
Before that, that was 28 years ago or something.
Yeah. Which was worse, David? What you've just gone through now, resigning from the Vineyard and whatever was going through your head and emotions, we'll pull that apart a little bit.
Okay.
But that, or getting fired in the States on December 22nd and then your father-in-law passing away on December 23rd?
That was the most devastating. Like we went through a church split here in 97.
What do you mean here, at the Vineyard?
At this church.
Okay.
Strike one. And then when we went to the States and planted a church in New Hampshire under the auspices of a international ministry, I was fired after 6 months, and my wife's dad was living with us. He died the same week in our home. We were taking care of him. That was really devastating on all of us, including our kids. And then this is kind of like strike three, you know. Although this time I'm in a happy place right now, even though it took some angst to get here. But I'd say what happened in New Hampshire and being fired from that international ministry was probably the most devastating because of all the other factors involved.
I would recommend everybody go to well, of course, your blog, The Naked Pastor, but also the Internet Monk's blog. Type in the search field, David Hayward, The Naked Pastor. And that interview you did with him, man, there, I don't know if you have any idea how some of the stuff that you said there was just, I don't even know how am I trying to explain this, Tim? It's just profound.
You were impacted. Like, you couldn't tell me enough about it when you pulled it up.
Ridiculous. Okay, here's a line from you. You ready?
Yeah.
If it's premeditated, then it's not vulnerability.
Yeah.
You know, people will describe this. Oh, I like your show. Okay, well, why do you like my show? Oh, because you're honest and vulnerable, and you know you're so brutally honest. And they say that like you know it's nice stuff. And my response in my head, the commentary, internal commentary is always, yeah, but thanks for that. But what that also means is you really don't want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
Because when I tell you I'm messy, I'm not trying to be humble here.
No, that's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Another thing that you said is it sounds measured. Or tactical or purposeful.
Yeah, oh, well, absolutely. Yeah.
And I know what people are saying. It's like, oh, that's your shtick.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
You know, it's your, that's, when I,
that's
when
your,
I,
that's your drawing card.
Yeah, yeah. When I saw you in 100 Huntley Street, calling the host Ken and Barbie of Christian TV, or you were complaining how, you know, straight guys were still designing their sets, you know, that you're, that's your shtick, man. And that's, no.
You said that?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
It slipped out. But, you know, they think it's measured and tactical and purposeful. And what I try to get across to people is, no, hold on a second. Like, I had some PR people say to me, oh, if only we had you before you did that interview, we could have helped you shape your
right. Exactly.
You're right. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I was off stage talking to a guy named Glenn Allen about football 30 seconds before I went on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Had nothing going through my mind. Maybe I should have.
It's like preparing for this interview. Like, the best thing for me to do is just sit and relax and just wait, not try to plan what to say, because I want to be real in the moment. If I can't plan on being real, or you can't write a script for it. It has to be spontaneous at the moment, and that's what I've tried to be as a pastor and as a church, you know.
Okay, I want you to think hard in this one, because there's a plethora for you to pull from.
Okay.
Can you describe to me the top few things that pop in your head when I ask you how you've been hurt the most in ministry?
Well, number one is betrayal. Yeah, like friendships that go south, you know, instantaneously. That's probably the most painful thing.
Can you give us an example without dragging someone into the quagmire?
Well, this is how church splits happen, you know, where you have a team, or you have a trusted circle of people who are influential in the community or in the church who you have no idea that there's something building behind their eyes, you know, and then suddenly one day it all is made, you know, transparent, that the people that you trusted have actually become your enemies, like on a dime. But that's probably the most painful thing in ministry. I bet that's the way most pastors would answer.
Even amidst the threatening phone calls, people who have come to your office and chastised you, you know, tore a strip off you, others, you know, reported you to your superiors at the Vineyard headquarters.
Totally.
And business meetings. Let me flash back or hearken back to my days 5 years pastoring in Australia. Business meetings still make me want to go to the toilet and vomit.
Really?
Yeah, because it's the time where people feel that it's their right to be heard, and they stand up with some kind of agenda, and they turn into, it's kind of like actually my experience with the blogging world. I've just come back, like, I'm not a blog follower. Sorry to say that, all you guys out there. But as I've been doing the research and reading comment sections, I mean, even Tim Challey's, Tim's sitting here in the room with us, and some of the comment sections, it's almost like kids in a playground,
yeah,
going na 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 boo boo,
yeah,
in theological terms.
Yeah, it can be very nasty. Yeah, that's for sure.
How about that one? I think you were the one that recounted the meeting where you tripped over the cord going into the meeting. And can you?
That was the day of our church split. That's when the church split happened, May 25th, 1997.
Okay, take us through this, because this story makes me cringe, but we need to hear this.
Really?
Yeah, I think we need to hear this.
Well, it's a long story. Long story short, though, I knew something was afoot. There was a lot of rumors going around and letters, faxes coming in and going. And I knew something was going on. We were, our church was trying to, anyway, long story short, it's way too long, but it's very interesting. But on Sunday morning when I came into church, I actually tripped over a wire on my way up to the front, and I didn't even pay any mind to it. But what that wire was to a video camera that had been set up. And like halfway through the service, we were totally ambushed by people, our friends, you know, who took over the service.
This video camera was set up sort of secretly, last minute, like no one knew about it. It was there to entrap you?
It was there to film the service so that when these people stood up to protest or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
it was all on film and recorded. I think that tape's still available, actually.
Well, I'd love to get a copy. Love to get a copy of that. Put it on DrewTube.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And then people were just screaming and shouting, and
it was unbelievable. I mean, it was scaring children. It was that ridiculous.
Come on.
Oh, I'm serious. Chairs were flying. People screaming.
What?
Oh yeah. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Well, you got to remember the church comes out of the Vineyard, and the renewal movement at the time was very strong.
Accidentally flying when they were grunting. Is that
right? Yeah, when they were, you know, hitting the floor and manifesting and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Chairs were flying and
the holy
people
grunts
were screaming.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, well, good luck with that. Okay. Let's go back to present day, because I've had a number of people say to me, you gotta get David to shoot straight, to be open, to be honest. Because you have said quite definitively on your blog that you're not going to, you know, talk bad, talk smack. You're not going to, you know,
trash the church.
Yeah, trash the church, et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera. I would like you to at least be open and honest as you always have been on your blog. Actually, hold on. Let me back this up. With the way you write in your blog, the Naked Pastor, do you think that's part of the reason why you bash heads?
Oh, yeah. But, like, the way I write in my blog is the way I talk. I'm very open about the things I think about. I'm not cloak and dagger. I'm just very open and honest about my own struggles. And I have found that's been a good thing, not just for me, but for many others. But my blog, it's something, you know, when I speak to somebody, the errors disappear in the wind, right?
Mm.
Whereas when you write it down, that's when the trouble starts. Because it's something people can point to and, you know, forward on to their friends and so on. So the blog has caused some problems for some people, for sure. And, you know, I've gotten, you know, a lot of correspondence and phone calls of concern and so on. I know it's caused problems for some people.
Okay, well, can you take this moment to publicly speak to these things that you've been hearing as to why you stepped down as pastor? Okay, let's have a little fun with this, but let's be straight. Let's be straight. No pun intended. Are you gay?
No.
Any intention of coming out of the closet soon?
No, I'm not gay. And I'm not coming out.
Intellectual curiosity. Is it killing the cat? Is that the chink in your armor?
I am intellectually curious. And I do, like, Hemant and I, for instance, the friendly atheist, we communicate back and forth. He uses my cartoons. He finds them interesting. Get a lot of interesting comments.
So you've been spoiled.
I enjoy talking with atheists. I have a lot of atheist friends, agnostic friends.
So you've been spoiled by the rotten apples, as they've said here,
that's what that means, yeah.
Yeah. So is that true?
No. I feel richer for it.
Well, that's your problem.
You should
feel richer in Jesus only.
True. You're touche. That's true.
How about, have you had an affair?
No. Okay. I'm 2 more weeks, I'll be 30 years married.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you handsomely paid out?
No. I wish.
Yeah. That's you got to be Pentecostal for those packages.
Yeah. No, the thing is, we just, our church was sitting on something like 19 acres of land that used to be just, like, junk.
Yeah.
And recently, because of the development here, it became very valuable commercial property. And so we sold, like, something like 4 acres of land last year, totally paid off our mortgage. So we're completely debt-free and a little bit of money in the bank and so on. So there's been rumors that what has happened is I've somehow lined my pockets and or whatever, or because of my controversial, you know, the way I am controversial is they've paid me out. It's a convenient arrangement kind of a thing. So that's where that rumor comes from.
And the denomination, the vineyard, have they excommunicated you for heresy? Are you going to be...
I was always worried about that,
yeah.
But not worried about it. I always felt that might eventually come down the line.
I asked you this the other day. What's the closest airport to you?
St. John International Airport.
Right, so then you'd have to start a new church called the St. John Fellowship Airport Fellowship.
Yeah.
Am I tracking here with the Wimber fans at all?
I hear you.
Okay,
yeah,
just checking.
That ain't going to happen.
Okay,
then.
All right. It's interesting, it says here, one says he's had an affair, and the other one says he's had sex with someone other than his wife.
Yeah, that was, somebody did point out that's kind of related, but, yeah.
And let's just finish on this last one, your faith. I mean, I don't know you. I don't have the right to ask you other than you have agreed to come on our show. I mean, what are the odds that you're on this show at this time?
Mm, I know.
I mean, from the interview of Bruce Colburn to now.
Yeah, that was a good interview, by the way.
Thanks,
people,
man.
On your show should listen to that. It was a good interview.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was fishing for, a compliment there.
Yeah.
You picked up on it.
Good artist.
Yeah. Seriously, how is your faith? I don't know if I have ever asked someone that in that much of a direct, almost there's a condescending tone that comes with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Maybe it's because of the situation you're in. It's such a transitional time that for me to come along and go, how's your faith, suggests that, well, your faith must be in the toilet. But anyway, let me shut up and just answer the question. How's your faith?
Well, I feel, you know, I sense I'm in a good place. I'm in a very good place. And, like, people have difficulty, if it can't be labeled or described or it's not recognized, then people are afraid of it. That's what nightmares are made of, right? The monsters in your dreams are just things you don't recognize. They're things that you aren't familiar.
Oh, no. My mother-in-law was in one of my nightmares. I recognized her very quickly.
Yeah. So that's what happens is what, like you said, I'm an anomaly or whatever you called it. When people have difficulty nailing you down, then it's heresy or, you know, you've lost your faith or whatever. And I just do not want to fit into people's expectations, and I don't want to, you know, apply myself to the labels or any of these things. I just want to live completely freely, and, you know, if people have difficulty labeling that or feeling comfortable with that, that's not my problem, that's their problem. And so when I'm getting all these emails from people saying they're going to be praying for me and I've lost my faith and I need to, you know, return to my first love and all that, I know where they're coming from, and I understand what they're saying.
Have you ever replied just saying, shut the hell up? Have you ever done that?
Between me and myself, maybe. Yeah, first reaction.
Oh, man.
I try to be nice.
Yeah.
I do. I try to be nice.
I almost sounded like Mark Driscoll with that kind of profanity there, by golly. Well, thanks. Thank you for coming on our show. This is just bizarre timing that you're going through what you're going through, and you happen to be on the show at this particular point in time.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's nice to chat with you.
Yeah, I think there will be more, probably. David Hayward is who we've been chatting with. He is the Naked Pastor. NakedPastor.com is the blog. Thank you for the relationship you have cultivated with Hemant.
Yeah, great guy. He is a friendly atheist.
I thought that was an oxymoron until I met Hemant.
It's a great site. He has a great site.
He does. He does. Thanks, David.
You're welcome, Drew.
See you, mate.
Nice to talk.
Bye-bye. David Hayward on the Drew Marshall Show, The Naked Pastor. Short break. When we come back, this is going to be fun, folks. Tim Challies, he's the number one blogger out there as far as the Jesus scene is concerned. A few different sites have claimed him as such. He must be sitting here scratching his head saying, I'm a computer guy. How did this happen? I don't understand. And then Spencer Burke will join us halfway through that conversation. I don't know if I've set this up correct, so we'll find out as soon as I get Tim on the microphone after this break. But if I've set this up correctly, Tim's a conservative, Calvinist, Reformed, and Spencer Burke is a liberal, emergent, non-orthodox. I'm looking at his eyes. Is that okay? Okay, that's all right. So that's coming up next. We'll be right back.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.
Thank you. It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.